Welcome to this meeting of the Economic Development and Planning Scrutiny Committee. I particularly welcome Charlotte Kane, who's joining us for the item on the investment programme and the visitor economy. I think, Charlotte, can you hear us all right? Excellent.
Yes, I can hear you.
Thank you very much. I need to borrow your chair because I just can't. Starting with the minutes. Anybody got any comments? Can we approve the minutes?
As published, I wasn't here, so.
Apologies.
Councillor Peter Edgler substituted by Councillor Anne Edgler.
And public question time.
We haven't got any.
At this point, I would like to swap round. I've agreed with Scott that that's all right. And bring Andrea forward. It used to be Andrea. To bring Charlotte forward, because you need to get off. And so it'll be your item and Martine on inward investment, tourism and the visitor economy, which is item number 7A. And you're going to make a presentation, I think. And you vanish.
Yeah, she's just going to
Yes, show thank you. Are you okay to let me know if you can see my screen okay?
Yes.
Full screen. Could you put it onto full screen, Charlotte?
Yeah. Can you see that?
Yeah, that's great.
Brilliant. Firstly, thank you so much for allowing me to dial in, a bit of a unique situation at home this afternoon. But thank you. I'm Charlotte Kane. I'm Staffordshire Investment Agency Manager, who is also responsible for visitor services across Staffordshire as part of our local visitor economy partnership. Second. Okay, so you may have heard of We Are Staffordshire, a large-scale partnership and campaign. We Are Staffordshire was very much around coming out of COVID and strengthening our numbers to promote the county as a whole. I think it's fair to say that the Pillars of the Place programme now needs some strategic direction when it comes to what we're specifically doing on visitor economy and inward investment. On the local visitor economy partnership piece, that was prioritised after COVID, mainly because Visit England and Visit Britain ran a large-scale national reform of destination management partnerships. So they went down from 240 to 40 nationally and asked us to work across larger geographies. And I'm really pleased to say that in Staffordshire and Stoke-on-Trent, across the whole county, we now have the Staffordshire and Stoke-on-Trent local visitor economy partnership, which I'll get onto in a moment. We also saw inward investment teams across the country fold during COVID, mainly because we weren't in a position to welcome investment. And the investment teams and offices that we did have were diversifying to support emergency grants. So what we're trying to do in Staffordshire is increase the amount of investment that we're starting to see. At the moment, we only secure 7% of the foreign direct investment that we get into the region, despite our fantastic assets. And we know that we can do better on that, but also how we support large-scale domestic companies and companies grow. We want to make sure that our success in supporting startups, we know that we have one of the highest survival rates of startups in the country. What we want to make sure is after the startup support that it doesn't just drop off and we're encouraging and supporting high level growth. So why investment? I don't have to teach you to suck eggs. Circular economy, local jobs for local people, definitely security, as a lot of our businesses look at automation, and making sure that we make sure that Staffordshire is a sticky place and that we're offering a fantastic quality of life offer to which we know our visitor economy drives. Working on investment, we're able to anticipate the movement of industries. So the new industrial strategy has been published. We're starting to see changes in how government is identifying new business clusters and districts and where they're looking to place new investment. And we're looking to engage to make sure that businesses are retained in Staffordshire So farming the businesses that we have in Staffordshire, making sure that their retention is high in the area, but also we want to be winning business into Staffs too. So we really want to be a business supportive and business winning county. We've done a lot of work collaboratively together since the campaign, since the COVID pandemic with UK Reef, but it's a lot more than UK Reef. So we are looking at a more joined up strategic inward investment strategy going forward, which will be consulting with the economic development teams across the county and of course indeed with the city. So historically we've seen visitor economy sat separately to inward investment, but in Staffordshire we have a fantastic visitor economy. It's grown. The good news is it's grown. It's 30% up in terms of its value to Staffordshire since pre-pandemic levels. It's grown in Staffordshire quicker than what we expect of a country to recover to. I get asked quite a lot, why do you think that the visitor economy is a more important sector than, say, logistics? I don't see it as a sector. It's actually an industry in its own right. So what we're looking at is how do we service inward investment and those high potential clusters and sectors, but also at the same time, there are sectors that within the visitor economy that won't be able to easily automate and will still provide jobs that local people absolutely need, whereas other sectors such as advanced manufacturing will absolutely be able to automate a lot quicker and easier. So we want a range of jobs, not necessarily just the high value, high qualified roles. So the new structure of the Staffordshire Investment Agency combines both. We've got an investment manager for growth industries, we'll have an investment manager for visitor economy and creative industries, two account managers, because we want to be making sure that we're strengthening the relationship on the ground and having our ears to the ground on opportunities to support growth, a project support officer, and indeed we'll continue with the marketing. So in terms of a local visitor economy partnership, progress since I last came to meet with you. We've now got the local visitor economy partnership status. How that works is it works very closely with the We Are Staffordshire Place Board. It makes recommendations to the Staffordshire and Stoke-on-Trent Leaders Board. We also meet monthly with our local authority stakeholder officers, to which Stafford and Cannock sit on. And we're starting to deliver subcommittees around business tourism, education and inclusion, marketing and business and support, business support and sustainability, to which I'm told there are now 60 businesses across the county basically on those task and finish star operators group, doing productive pieces of work which feed into the wider destination management objectives. So that is the structure. Bear with me a second. So in terms of the board, we did have Alistair Budd in the position of the chair. Unfortunately, because of new ownership at Trenton Gardens, that post is vacant at the moment. Alistair had a huge amount of work with the ownership changes. Alistair still sits on the board and is very active, but we are in the process of working with Visit England to re-recruit to the chair position. That said, you can see how many we do have on the board. Those highlighted in yellow are our priority leads. So Richard Drakeley from the National Forest is leading on our sustainability strand. Frances Marie Hitchin is the lecturer of the only attraction management qualification in the country, degree qualification in the country at the University of Staffordshire. She's leading our education and inclusion subcommittee. Laura Rowe from Tamworth Castle is making sure that the LVET board and the destination management plan is connecting in with the county's new cultural strategy and cultural forum. Craig Simmons from Stoke City FC is leading on our business tourism strand. And Councillor Matt Swindlehurst from Staffordshire Moorlands is the councillor who's been selected to sit on the LVET board for a 12-month period to connect the boroughs and districts into the LVET board. That said, we do have that local authority stakeholder group that meets operationally monthly. So in January, we hold something called the Big Tourism Conference, and every 12 months, the political lead on the LZ board will change. So there is an opportunity if anybody from Stafford would like to apply for that position. In terms of what we're focusing on, these are the main priorities. So marketing, and we link with the We Are Staffordshire board on that. We are looking at our commercial strategy. We've sold membership in the past. It has worked, but maybe not as well as what we'd like. So we're reviewing the commercial package to businesses. So for instance, we do have a free offer, but what we sell to the likes of, say, Alton Towers is a very different membership programme that is required for our SMEs that needs to be a lot more accessible and affordable. We are looking at a large-scale Playground of the UK campaign in the spring 2026. I think we're about ready for growth, activating a big large-scale growth campaign for the county. So we'll be launching that in January for comments and then ready to go public with it in the spring. Business support. We are working really, really closely with the Growth Hub and the Chamber on the business support for the sector, mapping what's already available with Visit England, but also thinking about how we bring new business support programmes through and funded for the visitor economy. There's a massive emphasis on accommodation, which I'll get onto, and working with our planners across the county in our boroughs and districts. Business tourism. We want to do more around groups. We want to do more around developing our international offer, especially with the US market. We know that we get a lot of visitors who are interested in Staffordshire from the US in particular. And venues, business venues. There's a lot of business venues out there who are still struggling with their digital connectivity and Wi-Fi. And they're also trying to get sustainability credentials, so that we could pitch Staffordshire as the most sustainable, cost-effective place to host your business venue. And also, why don't you stay an extra night and go to our leisure attractions? So as you can see, it's quite strategic in our thinking. We do have the only attraction management qualification in the country being delivered at university level, which is fantastic, with the likes of Universal moving into the UK needing to use our facilities. But at the same time, we want to pitch Staffordshire not just as the playground of the UK, but also as a place that you can enjoy around enjoyment and employment. So come and train here, study here, stay here, enjoy your life here. We have got to bring forward something called a destination management plan that many of you will have heard of before. What we're trying to do is create a county-wide destination management plan, which will now go into a more granular detail on each of the boroughs and districts' patches. So before, we had something called the Visitor Economy Action Plan, which was really a kickstart, a list of 10 kind of things that we could work on together. But what we need to do now is look at, you know, what do we need to do in Stafford, what do we need to do in Tamworth, etc. So we'll be delivering that work with our boroughs and districts between now and January to launch that at the Big Tourism Conference. Now, the good news is we've already started that work in Stafford because of myself attending the scrutiny committee, about 6 to 9 months ago now. So I can update you on what is coming out of the consultation that we've done around Stafford with your economic development team. But there's a local authority stakeholder working group, which has people on it, people leading on economic development from the boroughs and districts, are meeting monthly. And we're starting to think about what is everyone doing for Christmas, what is everyone doing for Easter, to avoid duplication and share insights and opportunities for us to align schemes. So if everyone's doing a high street, decorate your high street campaign, there's opportunities to roll that across the county potentially. And likewise, when we're looking at visitor itineraries, we are starting to think about how we can joint commission influencers to work on one commission across the county to save money. So working with Stafford Borough, we attended UK Reef on our kind of inward investment strand.
Can I stop you there, Charlotte?
Looking at the Guildhall.
Charlotte, can we just stop you there?
Hello?
Can you hear us? Yeah. Can I just ask members if they've got any questions from, because it's very comprehensive what you're saying. Has anybody got any questions up to now before we go into what's happening in Stafford?
Can I just make a comment, Chairman? Thank you.
You might need to speak up for Charlotte.
Sorry. Thank you for your presentation, Charlotte. It's such a shame that we didn't have this documentation and presentation in paper form or some sort of form so we could look at that before you put it on the book, because we can't read it. You know, it's not legible. You know, I don't know whether anyone else can read that on the board, but I can't.
Chair, I'm sure Charlotte wouldn't mind sharing the presentation.
Yeah. Is that all right, Charlotte, to share it afterwards?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
yes,
it's quite difficult to see because there are a lot of text.
Have asked it for, yeah. And the other thing, can I comment here?
Just that
Charlotte is quite aware that Trentham Gardens belongs to Stafford Borough. I just want to make that comment.
Indeed. Anyone else?
Through you, Chair. January 2026, the big tourism offer, was it? Did I get that?
Yes, that's right.
How do we get engaged in that?
Yeah, so it will be based at Uttoxeter Racecourse. I think it's on the 14th of January, but I can confirm those details and circulate them after. Tickets will go live probably within the next month, but Dean and Martine will get that information to circulate for bookings.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Charlotte. You know, just to, can you give us a bit more insight into the success of the UK Reef that took place, please? The success of it, please, thank you, if any.
And MIPIM.
So we don't attend MIPIM. We've taken it back. We're putting all our efforts into the UK because UK Reef has grown from what was about a 6,000 delegate conference to now, gosh, about 16,000 people attend. If anything, it's probably outgrown the site in Leeds. It's a great conference and expo to engage developers. So I think it's fair to say, and Dean, feel free to chip in on this. How Stafford Borough approached UK Reef, I was incredibly impressed with. It's the first time that I've ever been. So I was going with a kind of scrutiny hat on as to how is this going to be good for inward investment. And to be able to engage developers of the calibre that Dean was able to engage for the Guildhall and the Gateway scheme, I think was very, very good for Stafford. And I think that without a combined effort and stand and delegation, maybe, you know, that might have been a little bit more difficult. So I don't have the stats and facts to hand, but we can certainly get Louisa Shaw, who led on the stand, to send that information over to you.
Did you go? You went last year as well, didn't you?
I
mean,
personally
not you personally,
didn't,
but the Staffordshire team went. It'd be useful to see what business has come out of the event 12 months ago, because this year is a bit too soon to say. Do you want to add to it, Dean?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Just add to what Charlotte said. Obviously, Stafford Borough attended UK Reef as part of the We Are Staffordshire delegation. There was a very good stand within the kind of wider conference hall, which Charlotte, I think, over the course of the 3 days was very well attended by developers, investors, and businesses who want to do business with the district boroughs and the county as a whole. We went as a Stafford Borough delegation. We promoted our town centre prospectus, which effectively was the clear, what will be the cleared Guildhall and co-op site. Obviously we're in the middle of the demolition works at the moment, but when those works are going to complete, we're going to have a substantial development platform within the town centre. We presented that to at least a dozen developers and operators, and they were very impressed with the work that the council has done over the last couple of years in terms of using the government grant money to acquire redundant retail space in the town centre, get demolition work underway and create that opportunity. So a range of different developers, lots of interest in Stafford, particularly mixed-use development, developers who will want to build out residential but also food and beverage, leisure, so a range of different uses. And what we will be doing over the next couple of months is we'll be having a series of follow-up meetings with those developers. We've had two meetings already, but we'll be having further meetings over the summer, hosting site visits so they can come and look at the town centres, and we'll be coming back to Cabinet and Scrutiny, I think, in the autumn with further information on how we'll move forward with the process to appoint development partners. So I think overall, very successful delegation. Obviously Charlotte and the team will be assembling the facts and figures, but from a Stafford Borough point of view, we had some very positive meetings, lots of interest in the town centre, which bodes well for the future. And I won't steal the thunder of Martine, but part of that wider narrative about being open for business and attracting investment into the area. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks.
I'll take Frank next.
Sorry, I'd just like to ask you, that's Charlotte. I've got three licences in Stafford, and we're all struggling. I was in a meeting in Dudley last week, and they're all struggling. Is there any help going to come for the licensing businesses?
I think we'll just move on to working with Stafford Borough now, Frank, because
right.
I imagine that some of that's going to come up at this point.
Right.
Well, just have you got a general question?
Yeah, just one quick question, Chairman, thank you. Really, moving forward, Charlotte, do you think, I think you've explained your team, do you think you've got a strong enough team behind you to be able to do the workload that you've got moving forward? Because it's a heavy workload. Thank you.
It is a heavy workload. We're a very energetic team and we've got a lot of ground to cover. Within that structure, what isn't detailed is the resource of We Are Staffordshire, which is another two or three members of staff. So we all do pool in. The same, what isn't detailed on that structure is the staffing resource that we've got in the growth hub. So how we work at Staffordshire County Council is we do blur the lines and we pull in resource when and where it's needed. We take a one team, one vision approach. I would always love more staffing. I absolutely would. But I think that the relationships that we've got with the boroughs and districts and the economic development officers feeding into the programme is helping us to be able to cover the geography.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairman.
And just on Reef, it would be helpful to see, going back to last year, have you been going for 3 years or more?
Yes.
What business has actually come into our borough as a result of the leads that have come out of Reef?
Yeah, I mean, some of them, what I can say, are commercially sensitive. So what I can say is I've got a very large relocation company looking at the West Midlands interchange scheme. The thing with some of the inward investment proposals that we've had forward, until they land, they are commercially sensitive. But if this one lands, it is a large scale company. And that conversation happened at this year's UK Reef. I know that other conversations have happened over the last 2 years. And again, those are schemes that we are working on behind the scenes. I've been in post now since May, really, in this role, but I will go back and look at that evidence.
Thank you. Is that I-54 the one you're talking about, the Midlands Interchange?
There's I-54 and then there's West Midlands Interchange that is adjacent.
I-54
is very much around automotive and advanced manufacturing, and the West Midlands Interchange has a little bit more scope for different types of businesses.
Yeah, but that's not special to
South Staffordshire.
Okay, so do carry on now. Sorry to stop you at that point, but I think it was...
That was really helpful. And I do apologise that you can't see the detail of the slides. I will absolutely make sure this comes over to you all via Dean. So in terms of working with Stafford Borough, I think UK Reef was positive, especially given Stafford Borough was absolutely clued up on what you wanted to get out of it. You know, you had your prospectuses, and we're going to be working closer with Dean on those schemes going forward. Some of the other strategic sites were very much high street based, and maybe weren't the right proposal to take forward, so we're going to be working across the piece on those. We are working really closely with some of the companies who are in Stafford, Modishall Oaks in particular, and Tentham Gardens. We're talking about accommodation growth across the whole county. We've commissioned a large-scale accommodation acceleration plan that again will be presented in January. But I think because of the relationship that the local visitor economy partnership has got with your planning team, with your scrutiny board, and with your economic development officers, we are able to make sure that businesses are thinking about, you know, your local plan properly before putting in planning applications. I think that Modishall Oaks was a real success of how we kind of supported that business, but also got a scheme that works for Stafford Borough. So we want to make sure that we're doing that more joined up work. Within the destination management plan that we'll be commissioning, we did have some budget to look at Stafford in particular. So what's come out of that consultation is there's been some fantastic work from Martin and the team around beautiful borough, and there's, you know, a lot more to do, certainly around Stafford as a gateway. I mean, the fact that Stafford's name is in the name of the county, Staffordshire, we need to really think about the county town as a gateway to all of the attractions, not just the attractions in Stafford Borough. So the consultation with a vast range of businesses in Stafford Borough are saying that they'd love to see more improvements around the station area, and making sure that we're using it to promote all of our visitor attractions as a gateway. So that has come out quite high up the agenda. There's been a lot of positive work around the high street boost and advice and support for Stafford retail and hospitality sector. We want to make sure that what the High Street Boost project is doing links in with the objectives and support offered with the Local Visitor Economy Partnership, and what more we can do to support retailers and hospitality businesses on the high streets. What those programmes look like will absolutely be dependent on funding, but I think it's been identified and will be identified in the main destination management plan that high streets will be quite high up there in terms of business support. Staffordshire accommodation study. Stafford Borough has a lot of farms and a lot of diversification opportunities. It has, you know, businesses in, it has one of the lowest occupancy rates actually, so we need to try and increase the occupancy rates of those accommodation operators in the short term, and try and also bring in some more diverse product. And looking at skills and training, you know, you do have Newcastle College on your patch, so it's how we can make sure that Stafford is a place that you don't just land and then kind of get your next connected train, that you stay and you dwell, and you even think of it as a place that you can come to study and learn when it comes to hospitality. So I won't go through all of this, but there's a whole list of businesses who we engaged with in Stafford Borough, and they are all saying that we need to make more of the station and the gateway. And what I would say is we are also doing some work in Tamworth, and similar is true of Tamworth Station because it is so connected. So we want to increase the visibility, and we circulate this as well. I won't go through it all just due to time, but we are looking at how we can work close with Stafford Borough on your marketing and your visibility around being a gateway for the whole county. Make more overnight stays happening in Stafford Borough, and looking at the nighttime economy as well. And making sure that the visitor experiences that you do have are of high quality and visibility. So when it comes to sustainability and accessibility, working with those visitor economy businesses to make sure that they are punching above their weight. So I will circulate all of this. And stronger public-private partnerships. So we are encouraging local areas to have their own visitor economy networks. And I know that Martin has hosted several meetings whereby we're bringing together businesses in the local patch. So what we'd be looking to do is work. So we had a question around licensing. If licensing is a big problem for Stafford, then it's how that information is passed up to the LVAP, and also if other areas have got the same problems, which 9 times out of 10 they usually have, there needs to be conversations about licensing then on a at a county level as to if that's something that we can all work together on. All of these things, business support schemes, are always subject to funding, but the LVAP, working with the Growth Hub, working with the Chamber, is poised to be able to try and find that funding. Likewise, if UKSPF, what is the second album of UKSPF? We don't know quite yet. But if funding streams are coming in at borough and district level, can we talk together at that local authority stakeholder meeting and say, we've all got UKSPF, we've all got this issue around our visitor economy, can we launch a large-scale programme for visitor economy and hospitality companies to access a larger pool of money? So there's those conversations happening at the local authority stakeholder group meeting. In terms of accommodation, so we've done a lot of work on research, looking at accommodation stock, accommodation occupancy, because we know that the quickest way to increase GVA in the county is via accommodation, but also we can go for the staying visitor, but if they've got nowhere to stay, it's where the offering of Staffordshire falls down. So we can circulate this information, but at the big tourism conference we will go into this in a lot more detail. But you know, do we need to look at incentivising investments in accommodation? Do we need to look at a business support programme for accommodation providers? And we're getting to that how. So we know that we have strong hotel performance. The larger hotels are hitting 75% occupancy, which is actually really quite good. So we know that we do need a bit more stock. But guest houses are struggling, and small pubs are doing well. Post-COVID shifts and challenges, we want to be able to get more staycations. We're seeing a boost in the market. But investors are favouring acquisitions rather than build from scratch options. So we need to consider that when we're looking at new development. So we have strong performance and notable out-of-season growth. And occupancy is expected to fully recover in Staffordshire. Well, it is. It's doing really quite well. So in terms of...
Can we stop you again, Charlotte? Going back to the last slide. How much of that is coming into Stafford?
I would have to go and read the whole report and pull that detail out. I've only just had this report given to me about a week and a half ago.
All right,
but I can drill down on that information.
Yes, please.
What we're doing now is we're working with the planning departments to track how many planning applications you've had on accommodation, to see what the demand is and where the demand is, and if those planning applications have been approved or rejected, is there a theme as to what planning applications are being accepted and which planning applications are being rejected, so that then we can think about business support or working a lot closer with the planners to understand what type of accommodation is getting the green light via our planning committees. So what we do know is we've had 500 proposals for high value accommodation through the planning system. What I need to find out, and we're working very closely with Staffordshire Moorlands at the moment to do, I can tell you how many of Staffordshire Moorlands have been approved, but we now need to work with each of the boroughs and districts to do the same.
Yeah.
So it is quite a big piece of work,
Charlotte,
but it will help us.
Dean's going to interrupt you.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah. Thanks, Charlotte. Just say, obviously, that's a piece of work that we'll need to work together on. We'll need to have a look at that report in a bit more detail, Chair. But certainly in terms of the planning applications, we'll do a bit of analysis of what's come through.
Yeah.
I think our team certainly will be able to sift through that with the planners.
Yeah.
We haven't got that data at hand, but I'd be very interested to see what that looks like in Stafford Borough. But importantly as well, it's about our policies, and obviously with a new local plan, making sure we've got the evidence base. Don't want to do Alex's job for him, but the evidence base, make sure we've got the supportive policies that we need, and that's really important as well, that when the planning applications come in, that we can actually support them. So Charlotte, that's a piece of work we do need to work together on very much. Thank you.
And I think we can say we'd like that to come back to this committee.
Yes.
Please. Mm.
Yeah, I mean, Staffordshire Moorland spent quite a bit of their UK Share Prosperity funding kicking this off. So they've gone into a lot more detail in Staffordshire Moorlands, and now what we're using is that as a blueprint to support the rest of the county. So we're working very closely. But we do know that we've got 22 developers and investors with early interest in Staffordshire, which the team are going to be starting to engage more with. So there's a range of recommendations that are coming out of this report. So around regeneration in town centres, could we be looking at visitor accommodation schemes that are capable of delivering critical mass? How are we supporting rural diversification? Quick wins around cabins and air sites. How do we support business tourism accommodation and maybe look at a support programme for those? But it's fair to say this report needs a lot more scrutiny by the LVEP board and by the work that we do with people like Dean to really be able to go into, in Stafford, this is where we're looking and this is where the need is and this is what's been happening with the planners. So again, we'll be joining up and coming back to you around this in the early new year, I should say. So in terms of marketing, you'll have seen the We Are Staffordshire story, and you'll have seen Enjoy Staffordshire over the years. What we've been good at over the years is kind of spring, summer, autumn, winter campaigns that tend to repeat time and time again, which is fine. But what we're trying to do via the LVEP is look at where we can invest our budget to add value. So a lot of our visitor attractions will be bringing in our aspirational families anyway. So it's what can we do differently between the seasons as well to target more people to consider Staffordshire. So we are, as part of the destination management plan, going to be revising the marketing strategy. We need to be a little bit braver and bolder with our marketing, I think it's fair to say. So that we do set ourselves apart from other neighbouring counties. So we have the Enjoy Staffordshire brand, but we also have the Visit Stoke brand. And going forward, we're trying to align things so that it makes sense to the consumer. So we've commissioned a big website estate. We've rebranded Enjoy Staffordshire as Visit Staffordshire. And we're now working with boroughs and districts on their own entry points to this large-scale website estate. So if you land on www.visittamworth, you can then go on to explore the rest of the website estate through to Visit Staffordshire. The same as if you land on Visit Staffordshire, you can then go and explore the rest of the county. The benefit of doing this is Visit Staffordshire, which was Enjoy Staffordshire, gets on average 50,000 unique hits a year. So straight away, Visit Tamworth, Discover South Staffordshire, Discover Staffordshire Moorlands are benefiting from a large scale pool of visitors. And it's about trying to get those visitors to spread around the county. So we are trying to work with boroughs and districts to do that. You do have a beautiful borough website, and that is connecting in on the homepage of Visit Staffordshire. So this is a new Visit Staffordshire website that went live a couple of months ago, and it's going really well. It's connecting up the offer really well. Stafford businesses can register on this for free. We're not charging because we believe content is king. And this is what Visit Tamworth looks like, which is going live shortly. So, you know, it looks very similar, but you land on Visit Tamworth and you go through to the rest of the county offering.
Okay.
It also means that if there's an emergency or a fire on, you know, one of our landscapes or something like that, we can act in a resilient way and put an emergency message out to all of our visitors across the whole piece. So there's been a huge amount of work there, and I'm really sorry that there's a lot of words on the slides. But I just wanted to give you a full roundup of what's been going on.
No, thank you, Charlotte. That's really helpful. We've got one question.
Yeah, I think what bothers me actually is we've got to remember that Stafford is the county town. You know, and the one thing that really bugs me, and it's bugged me for years actually, I don't think we make enough of our Crown Court openings, which is good for tourism. And we really, and it's something that happens, that we're only one of the five towns throughout the country, I think, that really does the Crown Court opening. And I don't think we make enough of it for our tourism. Just a comment, Chairman. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone got any comments? No? I think you've covered everything extremely comprehensively. Thank you very much. As you did when you last spoke to us. And there's a lot of stuff we've got an opportunity to think about now as a result. Dean is now going to speak again.
If you don't mind, Chair, I just wanted to say thanks, Charlotte, for the presentation. We've also collected slides, and I think what would help, Chair, obviously we'll bring this back at a future meeting, but what will help, have a look at the priorities that Charlotte has put forward for Stafford Borough. If there's anything you disagree with or if there's anything missing, please let me and Martine know. Obviously we've inputted into that piece of work, but we do want members, and you know, you've raised a point there, so there may be other things that we've missed. And secondly, we will take an action away around the accommodation demand and planning applications, and see what's in the pipeline and what decisions have taken place, and we can bring that back to a further meeting. But we would like to get feedback on those priorities, and I'm sure Charlotte would appreciate that as well. Thank you, Chair.
I've got one question on the website. Do we have to pay to contribute to the website? To produce our own section of it, as it were? Is that up to the council?
So basically, to have a microsite, which is what the other boroughs and districts have taken up, it's a bolt-on offer. So it's a one-off fee of £15,000 to have it developed, designed, hooked into the system. But then going forward, it's I think it's £3,000 in licensing every year as part of your LVEP contribution. So at the moment, you're not a borough district who has opted to have a microsite, but that's not to say that you couldn't join. And I think that the reason is you have a really good website and beautiful borough, and that is already linked in. So it's just whether or not in the future you would like to have a think about that.
Thank you. Anybody else? I've got one more question, sorry. A sector, I suppose you'd say, rather than industry, that you hadn't mentioned at all is the arts, which is again quite strong in this borough. Is the work being done on that?
Yes, so my colleagues in the culture team have launched a cultural strategy, which is a countywide cultural strategy. They've also launched something called a cultural forum, which is kind of like a group really of cultural and art operators who are coming together, and that is connecting into the local visitor economy partnership. So you'll have noticed you might not have noticed on the structure, because I do apologise, it's so small, but the Inwood Investment Manager, who I'm currently recruiting for, will cover visitor economy and creative industries, and creative industries is where my team will link with the cultural development team at the county.
Thank you. Brian, you've got another question now.
The figure of £15,000 was mentioned there to judge. I was under the impression the borough already pays the county £15,000. What do we get for that £15,000 then if we've got to pay to join that website?
Yeah, so it was £15,000. We reduced that this year to £8,000, and that covers the destination management plan specifically for Stafford. So rather than you having to commission your own destination management plan, we commission that plan for Stafford that can sit independently, and it can also join the wider county plan. Also the data. So we get a lot of visitor data specifically for Stafford Borough, which you can use in your investment and development plans and to support your local plan. And also we do have a proportion, I think it's £1,000, towards things like the hotel accommodation study.
Thank you.
So it's £8,000 a year, which is a partnership contribution. And then there are a range of additional bolt-on projects that we can offer, just because it kind of makes sense. If you wanted to deliver a website independently of that size and scale, it would potentially cost a lot more. It's not just a website. It will eventually give you the opportunity to take bookings and payments and all sorts of things.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, I think the cabinet member might have something to say here.
A lot of the content you've got on your site and on the other district sites is to do with drawing visitors into the county or to their area. I know we focus with our beautiful borough on promoting our domestic tourism, so go visit places within our borough, our beautiful borough. To what extent have you got that visitors within Staffordshire, visiting Staffordshire as part of your focus?
Yeah, that is a very big focus, because Visit England doesn't do as much of that. So Visit England and Visit Britain tend to look at international visitations. And a lot of the grant funding that we've had from Visit England has been about the international visitor market. So the LVEP has to do large-scale campaigns. So we do the spring, summer. We've done the 30 under £30 campaign, which you may have seen. That was one of the highest followed campaigns that we've done because of the cost of living. So we are doing that. We are also looking at visitor itineraries, whereby we connect product across the boroughs and also sometimes out of area to make sure that we're getting that migration. And we are looking at mobile phone data. We haven't done that before. So the data that we've been able to collect has historically been a snapshot in time. So while it's useful, it's not as detailed as what I'd like. So we are looking at new mobile technology data, whereby we'd be able to eventually see how many mobile phones have gone into Trenton Gardens, how long they've stayed for, and then what attractions they then go on to. So, I mean, it is still very early days with the LVEP board. We've only been in operation since November, but it's that type of data that will allow us to get a lot smarter with our marketing.
Thank you. Anybody got? I think we need to let you go, Charlotte. You've got a family to look after. Thank you so much for your time. It's been extremely helpful and very useful.
And
enjoy your evening now.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Right, Marty. Thank you so much. I'll get back to my seat.
Jackie, are you playing the video on the screen or on the big screen?
On the
big screen. Okay.
Oh, I've left my pen behind. My valuable pen.
Half of it's here.
Thank you very much.
Brilliant. Thank you. So, just make sure this is working. Brilliant. Okie dokie. That's just some photographs of a business support event that we held at the Post House last year to launch High Street Boost and to talk about UK Share Prosperity Funding. So we had about 80 businesses, was it, Ant, that was in the room at the time? So this here, basically, we were just talking, the leader was doing a presentation on the support, that's a bit about the High Street Boost. This picture here is some of the workshops at the Post House, so that's where we've invited and we've paid for fully funding business support for retailers to drop in, have a workshop, with retail specialists, so that's gone down really, really well. I just wanted to touch on UK Share Prosperity Fund, because last time I was here was October. We've now finished the 3-year UK Share Prosperity Fund that we had. So if you remember, Chair, we had a blank sheet of paper and £5 million 3 years ago. We had to write lots of different programmes for what we're going to spend the funding on, capital and revenue. So that's all gone down really, really well. I'll just quickly come on to that. Just a reminder of what we're about in our team. So that's myself, Mary Timmis. Mary, by the way, I'm sure some of you know, she's been with the Borough Council now for 25 years. She just celebrated her 25-year service, and all of that's been around business support. So there's nothing Mary doesn't know. So we're still a one-stop shop. We're encouraging inward investment. So that goes on to mainly my role, which is reaching out to organisations that are looking to either expand their business if they're already in Stafford, or working with organisations who are thinking of expanding. So I read a lot of business news and get an understanding of which companies are growing, not just in Stafford, but across the UK, and then reach out to them. So Dean and I were just recently speaking to an organisation in South Staffordshire that now wants to expand and open up a business, and one or two businesses actually, in potentially the Church Eaton area. The work I've been doing with Excelsior Foods, who bought the old Premier Foods site, so that was reaching out to them. Kendall NutriCare, which is the baby milk manufacturer, I noticed that they were looking at expanding, reached out to them. They came down to the Premier Foods site, they've now bought it, and it's very good for the borough, because we're going to be the first producer in the borough of baby food. There's only one other plant up in Newcastle. In Cumberland, and things like Excelsior Food will be using local farmers for the produce and the milk, so that's a really good win for us. So inward investment, assisting with grants and finance, we've covered that before. That's the UK SBF funding that we've got, which was about £500,000 of grants over the last 3 years. That's all gone out the door. Stafford businesses, like I said before, are really good at soaking up funding. There's always a wait list for grants. We never struggle with them, having to encourage people to take up that. Engagement with stakeholders, as Charlotte mentioned before, so we work with the Growth Hub, Chamber of Commerce, FSB. We work with a lot of banks and accountants who are working with startups, who reach out to us and say, you know, we've had a company that started a business, and what sort of support can you give them? Relocation support, so I'm working with a couple of companies now that are finding it expensive to work in places like, let me remember, Wokingham and Bracknell. They're now looking to move into Stafford because business rates are less expensive, and the cost of doing business in Stafford is significantly less than it is down in Berkshire. Business events, networking, peer-to-peer learning, workshops, all of that's been delivered using UK Shared Prosperity Fund. As Charlotte mentioned, and as we've been talking about, Dean, we don't know what's happening in March 2026. The UK SBF fund that we've got in this current year, which is 25-26, is just a transition fund. So UK SBF, the 3-year programme, finished in March. The current government put in a transition fund, which just takes us to March of next year. We don't know what's going to happen after that in terms of any grants for our businesses. But we had life and business support before UK SBF. We've always delivered business support at the Borough Council.
Yeah.
I've been here 7 years now. Yeah, 7 years. So my first 3 years here were delivering direct business support to businesses. Then we had COVID, so we delivered £50 million of COVID grants, so that was what our time was taken up with. And the last 3 years we've delivered, as I said, £5 million of SBF funding. Just to reiterate where we are, so there's 5,000, this is fresh NOMIS data as of May of this year, so 5,300 enterprises, those are individual companies in the borough. On top of that, there's 6,000 local units. So local units are where you've got multiples, like, you know, 3 Greggs or 4 Sainsbury's. So there's 5,370 individual companies, and then there's these local units, which are not necessarily the head offices, they're branches, so Starbucks and McDonald's and what have you. This has been the highest number of enterprises since 2014, so we've got a growing business base. People aren't moving out of the borough, they're moving into the borough. Of all the businesses across Staffordshire, the borough has 18% of all of the businesses. So if you think about 7 or 8 districts in Luthenstoke, we've got by far the greatest number of businesses in the borough. I had a quick look on Companies House yesterday. So in 23-24, 645 new businesses were registered in Stafford at Companies House. That is going to take a lot of work. Some of them are organisations where I can see on Companies House that they're in commercial premises. Maybe they've taken up space at Hixton, for example, or Raleigh. So we'll probably reach out to those. But there's also quite a lot of independent entrepreneurs who have registered businesses from their home address. So we're not quite sure how we can reach out to them because there's GDPR rules and regulations. And we really need to find a way for having startups to come to us because it's very difficult for us to reach out. So on Companies House, you're not given any email addresses or phone numbers, and it costs a fortune if we send a letter to all 645 people inviting them to contact us. So we're very much reliant on our comms programme to let people know. Five Queen's Award for Enterprise are in the borough. I'm trying to remember, Alec Motors, Top Cashback, Walkall, one or two others, which have skipped my mind. So we've got a really healthy business base, really, really healthy. We've got growing businesses, we've got plenty of entrepreneurs, and we've got a good pipeline of people that want to move into the area. I mentioned to you, Chair, earlier that myself and my colleagues go around to all of our rural areas, so all our business hubs, our industrial parks, and we're 96% full in our rural areas. So if people want to come along and open up a new factory or want to start logistics or a pharmaceutical company, we've got a very limited supply of available space now because we are actually that good at what we do here. With that though comes the issue of skills. So Stafford Borough District had in the last quarter the highest number of vacancies across all districts, and certainly last year we were only second to East Staffordshire in terms of the total number of vacancies. That comes with growth. You know, the businesses are growing, they require more people. So we work very closely with the IoT and Stafford College to look at short-term courses and what can we do to get some of the learners in higher education and further education to take up some of the vacancies. So this is just a reminder of UK Shared Prosperity and the Rural England Fund that we had. So it was £5.16 million we had in August 2022 over a three-year plan. We had the benefit that if we had any underspend in year one, we could go to year two and spend it in year two, and in year two we could spend in year three. With this transition fund, the current one that we have, which is about £1.5 million, Dean, that hasn't got the benefit of a rollover, so we've got to spend the £1.5 million before March of 2026. We have got a series of programmes that will be launched after PIRDA, so at the end of this month we'll be launching four grant schemes and various business support programmes, high street boost, B2B. Very much what we've been doing here. You know, why fix it if it isn't broken? We might as well just roll out the same programmes. So from all of the REP and the SBF, we took out just under £1.4 million to direct support our businesses. So that's £500,000 direct grants from us, £250,000 so that we could pay for workshops, so companies didn't have to, you know, pay a fee to go and have access to a mentor or a provider. £140,000 for the County Council to deliver the climate change and the advice and support for that. And then £487,000 into rural, retail, hospitality and leisure venues. So that's all gone, that money's gone, thank you very much. And now we're just waiting to launch the next lot. Could you please play the video? Last time I was here, I presented a short clip of organisations that were in the Stafford Town Centre, if you remember, talking about the business support. There were quite a few businesses on there saying, you know, we're in the town centre, we value the report. I just thought I'd do something on rural now, and this is where we've given grants to businesses to help them save money. So we give grants to businesses to help them, you know, purchase goods, purchase equipment, pay for various things. With this angle of Rural England Prosperity Fund, we wanted to help businesses save money by implementing energy efficiency equipment, so reducing their utility bills. So this is a clip here. And Jackie can get it up for us. So we've had done recently just with organisations. We've called it Resilient Stafford, and there's
sustainability isn't just about
here from Councillor Pearce.
It's about building a stronger, more resilient future for everyone. For small businesses across Stafford Borough, making smarter choices around energy, resources, and supply chains can lead to real real financial benefits. More and more customers are supporting businesses that reflect their values. Energy prices remain unpredictable, and government policy is evolving fast. Taking action now helps you stay ahead to become more efficient, more resilient, and more appealing to today's market. In this film, we'll show you how three local businesses are making it work, each in their own way.
If you're a business owner or you're in control of the business, you cannot afford not to have an energy audit or to be more sustainable. Not just for the green initiative, but to be more resilient and keep your business more profitable. Sudbury Council have been a huge help with multiple different projects we've had here. Aston Marine just had an upgrade to an electric kitchen. So we've got three kitchens here, two are already on electric and induction. And Third Orm Green wanted to change from LPG to electric. That's taken the last of the gas away from our site. We're fully electric now. Also helped us with a large solar array.
We had a rise in our electricity price, so it nearly doubled overnight. Now, if Paisley's going to be here for the next 100 years, it has to be sustainable. I start to look at funding, if there's any funding out there, or look at solar panels. And with this Lapa Borough Council grant, it was absolutely brilliant. It was a no-brainer. It just gives you that a little bit to get you over the line. Now we've got solar panels, our electricity bill at the moment is £2,000 to £2,500. This time last year, before we had the solar panels, was nearly £4,500. And when you become sustainable, it becomes easier to make a margin.
All hospitality has been facing some difficult times, especially with energy usage. Stafford Borough Council have helped me to follow a journey of sustainability and reducing our carbon footprint. The project is three different parts. The main and biggest part being solar energy. We've had a new freezer room, which operates about 15% more efficient than our old freezers. Put in new fryers, not only reduce the energy consumption, but also reduce the consumption of the actual oil. And the whole project really helps us with our sustainability facing the future, but also saves us money. And for any business, both of those aspects is a real benefit.
There was no cost at all to us to get an energy audit. Half a day of showing around the site, and then a week or so later, we had a full report of advice on how to do it. And it's little things that you don't realise that this energy audit brings up that will save you a fortune. If you're changing the temperature of your water by 2 degrees, that might be £500 a year. Now that the energy prices have risen quite a lot, we are looking at about 3 years for a return of investment. So after that 3 years, you see it's paid for itself. It's good for profitability, it's good for consistency. Having the electric kitchen gives a better quality of product for the customer as well.
We're looking at getting a return in about 2 years, and this helps us to secure the future.
You don't have to choose between being a sustainable business or profitable business. You can be both, because when we do this, sustainable does become growth and it does become more profitable. Stafford Borough Council, the funding department, is brilliant. There's always a positive, so speak to people about it.
Stafford Borough Council gave us more than enough help and encourages us, go for it, you won't regret benefits that will come in the future.
Get an energy audit, get someone down and get a bit of direction. There was no cost at all to us to get an energy audit. Take them up on the offer. It takes half of your day and it could save you thousands of pounds, hundreds of thousands.
We can all play a part in helping our planet and shaping a sustainable future for the next generation. This is sustainability that works.
Well done.
Thanks, Jackie. So we used some UK Shared Prosperity Fund there to pay for energy audits, so organisations didn't have to bring in consultants. They could have an audit done free of charge, and then a list of recommendations after that as to how they could look at becoming more energy efficient. And then there was some grant funding that also backed that up as well. So this year with UK Shared Prosperity Fund and REC, there'll be an element of also working with businesses to fund those. So, you know, there's lots of talk about net zero and climate change, but actually it all comes down to cost saving. You've seen there that businesses have been able to save, you know, quite a lot on their energy bills, which then allows them to, invest in other things. So just finishing off on UK Shared Prosperity Fund. So between June and March, we've helped all the independent retailers across the three town centres with workshops and funding. We did open it up a bit wider as well, so we covered workshops and funding for Stafford Stoke and Eccleshaw, but we also had inquiries from businesses in Knowsall and retail businesses in Trenton Village as well. So we don't like to turn anybody away, so on the workshops we welcomed people that wanted, who were in retail and hospitality, to have that one-to-one mentoring and workshops. Tourism, hospitality and leisure venues were supported, as you saw there. Pre-starts and entrepreneurs, those people that are thinking of starting a business, that could everything. It could be students, it could be people that are retiring, it could be people that have been in work for some years and they were being made redundant, so then we gave them a lot of support on that. Also supporting companies that were up to 2 years, which is a difficult period. You've started a business, year one, you're all excited, all the money's gone and you've done all your marketing, and now in year two you sat back thinking, well, have I made the right decision? So we want to support people that have been trading for more than 2 years as well. Which we call them post-starts, and then our small to medium enterprises, which is the bulk of the businesses who have been trading more than 2 years. And this will roll out for this current year under UK Shared Prosperity Fund as well. We're not going to change anything. It's worked really well. Workshops oversubscribed, grant schemes oversubscribed. We just, doing a lot more funding. Just touching on inward investment very briefly, there's some big news stories that have come out recently, if you've read the press. So Hitachi Energy are starting, they've had planning permission now to build their new £18 million site at Beaconside to start producing energy powered units there. GE Vernova in Stafford, I think you visited them, Dean, they're doubling their production at the West End Road, and they're creating 100 new jobs. Excelsior Foods, as I mentioned, have now signed up and they've actually purchased the former Premier Foods site. There's 100 jobs that will be created there.
Can I just ask you a question? Is that at night?
I'm sorry?
Is it at night?
Yes, it is. Yeah. Yes, yeah. The Hex Group, which includes Alpha Manufacturing and Bristol, they've just hit a milestone of having 200 apprenticeships since they've been trading through the door. Aston Marina have invested, as we just said, they're having further investment, 2.75 million investment. There's lots of nice stories to present, and I haven't got enough time and there's not enough space on the slides, but I like looking at companies as well and hearing why they particularly chose Stafford. So Swimwell, if you think about Kingsmead, there was one empty unit, which is the first one in Kingsmead on the left as you go in. It's been empty since it was built for 7 years. So Swimwell provides swimming lessons. Now traditionally they go and do the swimming lessons in other swimming pools. They decided that Stafford was the right place for their investment to have their own premises now. So that swimming pool there in Kingsmead will help drive a lot of traffic into the town centre. Another good win is Hickory Smokehouse, which had just opened on the outskirts of town. They came to us a couple of years ago, I think now, Dean, when they were looking for their first Staffordshire outlet. So Hickory's are an independent restaurant group. There's 22 across the country, and they wanted something in Staffordshire, and they picked on Stafford. So that is it in a nutshell. Happy to take any questions.
Well done, Martin. Yeah. Thanks very much. It's really interesting and hugely successful. Well,
slow, Martin, or you have to speak at that speed.
Well, can I confess something? I'm booked into the car park of the Marks and Spencers and it closes at 8. That's why I'm speaking up.
Well done.
Well done.
Right, any questions?
Up to you then, Chair. Got a bit of a link on there.
Yeah. Haven't even got to the question yet.
I've got a question. I think that was a brilliant presentation. Thank you very much.
Scrutiny helps because you feed in what you want to hear from us and what you expect from us to deliver in terms of business support. So we listen to what's put forward and take on board deputy members' comments and committee's comments. It's vital that we have your feedback because a lot of the time with the councillors, you're the boots on the ground because you're walking around speaking to businesses and you probably hear first before we do, which is why we always say, come to us if there's any questions or pass out our details, and if you need just to go and speak to a business that you're speaking with, just give them our name and we'll gladly go out there.
Well, thank you very much, and I hope you don't get locked in.
Well, if it's a parking fine, won't I be paying my own salary?
No, you can't get out.
Oh, I can't get out. Well, then.
It's worse. Thanks a lot.
Thanks. There we are. I'll leave you all to it. Thank you very much. Nice to see you.
We're now going to go back to the question to the cabinet member. Do you want to come forward, Scott, and ask your question?
Do I read it out as it has?
It's up to you. We've all read it, and we all sympathise with some of the problems that have confronted you.
Okay, I'm happy not to read it out. We've all read it.
Is that all right?
Yeah.
And so we'll ask Ant to respond.
I just want to start with this is a really good question. It really goes to the heart of what a lot of people talk to me about, or what people talk to all of us about. Not only that, using this council session to ask a question of scrutiny, absolutely encouraged. Exactly what we should be doing beyond just the committee. We should be using this to make sure that cabinet are responding and letting you know what needs to happen, what we are currently doing. So absolutely great use of what you've got available to you. And yes, the situation with the planning backlog is serious. It's ongoing, and it's a key reason for the new improvement plan that was recently adopted by Cabinet and is now being implemented. So there is a workshop for all councillors scheduled for July 15th, where this plan will be explained in detail and where ward councillors can seek clarity on any elements of that proposed approach. So that's a great opportunity. Do please set aside time. I think it's a Monday to come on to that. I want to take a moment to recognise the major achievements so far in the planning team. All of it led by the planning team themselves, with my support. When we took over the administration of the council, the backlog was over 1,000. It's less than half that today. The team immediately made arrangements to bring in additional contractors, as you suggested, alongside other arrangements. And with the support of all the cabinet parties, the Greens, the Labour and the Borough Independents, we did indeed fund this extra cost using the planning reserves. It's vital that we did this. Excessive planning backlogs are unacceptable. Our planning team needed this support to handle the short-term extra workload. The team now tell me that they need to reduce the average time it takes to handle each case. They plan the changes for how to handle this. They're implementing this new improvement plan this summer. Also, recruitment has occurred already, so we're pleased with our new team members. Now, yes, there was better responsiveness to some types of applications than others. Simple applications that did not require much external body consultation could be handled rapidly. These were channeled via an outsourcing arrangement to ensure our officers could focus on the more difficult cases. It is often the need to consult others that has caused delays. Handling this is a key factor in bringing the backlog down further. However, the team did not cherry-pick easy cases. Rather, they balanced the workload of simpler cases against the ones that need more detailed evidence so that the overall throughput is reasonable. On enforcement, we've started the changes already. We've leveraged our arrangement with Camp Chase to share their enforcement team lead. We've instituted a new cross-team approach to enforcement on complex cases. Recruitment has not been as successful as with the planning team, however. There is a national shortage in this function. We need to attract more candidates to our vacancies. In summary, you're absolutely right to call this out. Our planning team has made excellent efforts and achieved impressive results in the last 2 years. The backlog is less than half what it was. The response is to validations. It's way better than it was. The team have fully engaged with the improvement plan to bed in long-term changes to how they work and how fast they can turn around applications.
Do you want to respond?
I
would say that we did agree to bring this as an item to the October meeting, and I think we'll examine it in depth when October comes, and there are aspects of it, both strategic and detailed, that we'll need to go into in quite some depth.
I'd just like to add, Chair, possible that speaking to sort of parish councils, I don't think that they feel there is a success in the planning system at present. It doesn't seem to be being related to what people are seeing in the different villages and towns and in different applications that are coming forward. So I struggle to see that we are making successes when it's, to me, it's clear that way. But I'll leave it for the October session.
Is that right? And you'll come back and
if that's
join in. I think that'd be useful.
I mean, that's an important perspective. I mean, if you have a backlog, you've still got a backlog. So it feels like you've still got a backlog. You do, you still have a backlog. We are working on that. We are going to be discussing how successful the summer was come the autumn. We are looking at that. We do totally recognise how it feels, how it is for applicants and of all sizes. I get people coming to me, I get people coming to ward councillors who come to me saying, what's the hold up? Why is this one stopped? Why is no one replying to me? And when you dig into it, there are always reasons. It's just there's a backlog and there's a lot of things. We need to clear that backlog. We need to have faster throughput. We are working on it. We are getting there. And it is twice as good as it was. We have had investment in that, and it is twice as good as it was, and it needs to be better. Absolutely right.
Through you, Chair. Several years ago, I suggested an idea that if a councillor were to pose a question to head of service to anywhere, the councillor should get a reply within a few days saying, thank you, I've got that, and I've logged it against a reference number. So if you come back in 6 months' time, I'll know that I received that 6 months ago. And that never really got going. But I think it would be useful to explore something like that so that you do know that question has been received, it has been put in the system, and it has a starting point when it was received.
Good plan.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
We'll see how it works. Jackie will record it and we'll pick it up with Dean. Anne.
Thank you very much, Chairman. Yeah, thank you for your explanation, Cabinet Member. But my problem is, you know, planning applications are going to grow. And I know in my own area, I've got 5 coming through in the pipeline, which is quite worrying. And this is all to do because we've got no local plan in place. And it is quite worrying. So although it's flatlining at the moment, it's going to grow absolutely.
Thank you. I can see a debate. I'm going to cut this debate in a minute because I want to save an awful lot for October.
I just wanted to comment on Brendan's point, because following on from that, the chief executive did write to us all, and he set up a special email address for councillors to contact the planning department. And I found that whenever I've made inquiries to the planning department and use that email address, I've had a very prompt response from planners. Mm-hmm. I've practically had an immediate response. So I think, you know, obviously there was work done on it, and I think look to that special address.
We'll dig it out and circulate the process. I've got Brian first and then Peter.
Yeah, it's not a new phenomenon, this having a backlog. I mean, I've been on the council 22 years now, and I can go back to setting up a special group to investigate the backlog, and we introduced a T-card system, which did reduce it because it was all there visible. So it's not new that there was 1,000 backlogs when Ant's group took over. There was probably the same amount when we took over in 2003, but it's an ongoing thing and it's recurred year on year for the past 20 odd years. We've never been on top of it.
No.
We'll pick it up in October. Peter?
Yeah, my also other side of the coin is that I have an enforcement issue that's been a backlog to me for probably 3 years now in Chebsey, where a guy had a month to get something done on a planning application that went to enforcement, and it's now been 2 years now and it's still not done, and every time I write to the enforcement officer, they've left and somebody else has taken it over. And the latest thing was the enforcement officer who was in charge has now moved to Cannock. Was it Cannock? Where did you go there? So I wrote to the person at Cannock and they said, oh, sorry about the mistake, they've left Cannock, now they don't work there anymore, they now work at Stafford. We sent it to say, well, I'm getting nowhere at all, and this has been going on again with us, somebody else, or they've left or retired.
We'll pick it all up in October.
Exactly.
Just to add on enforcement in particular, I think making sure that we have, because we've had over in this committee quite a lot of detail on planning, and that is absolutely right. It's not that we should have less, but I would like to see the same level of detail on enforcement in particular, because I think that's an area that I am finding residents raising more, and it's something that I definitely don't have answers on.
Yes, it's a very good point, and I think we did decide it would be enforcement that we'd raise in October, because we've done planning today.
I think it went downhill, madam, when Jackie left the department.
Can you record that?
Can I be excused, Chair?
Okay. Yes, of course.
Last
point.
In terms of enforcement, remember it's not just planned enforcement. When we talk about enforcement, there's lots of different teams. We do have this new process in place that we pull together to try and make sure that whether it's environmental enforcement, human ethics behaviour, all sorts of enforcement stuff. Lots of different powers that are quite separate put together because some issues need a lot of multiple eyes looking at it.
Thank you.
So and we'll be
picking all of that up.
Dina's
very familiar with it.
Just to correct one point, we do have an active local plan running through 2031. There are aspects of it to do with space and place that are currently challenging to do with the 5-year housing supply, but the plan is still there and it's still being used for planning for policy purposes. Yep. So it's not that we don't have a plan.
We have an adopted local plan.
We have an adopted local plan, indeed we do. Right, which was the next item? It's the end of it. Yes, we moved on to the end of year report now.
You have to start.
Unless you can ask somewhere.
Thank you. The end of year report is what we present to council.
No.
Oh, it's not that one. Oh, it's the one with all the detail in. So we'll take it page by page, Dean, I think.
Yeah, this is the...
And not too much detail,
no,
but anybody can give their thoughts on it.
Obviously, time running on. But this is the end of year report. The priority delivery plans, we're currently reviewing the priority delivery plans for 2025-26, so the next meeting you'll get the Q1 report. Happy to go through it page by page, but I think as it was reported at the end of March, we're now into July, so a lot of this has moved on. Chair.
Okay, well,
anybody... focus on 11 and 18, I've got to say that.
Does anybody want to comment on any of the pages that you've gone through?
Just one, please, Chair. On page 6, I think there may be a discrepancy between the total number listed 33 and then 5.7, so 34.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. I mean, it all reads reasonably well. Does anybody...
Chair, the section that's relevant for this committee is the bit highlighted in yellow. So, obviously, there are 27 projects. You'll see 20 of those were completed, 22 of those are on target, 5 are behind schedule.
And we know why.
And the key performance indicators, there are 7 in the economy. So yeah, there's 33 in total, not 34.
Okay. Anyone got any comments? You're happy to accept this report?
Yes.
Okay.
On page 11, the programme board and governance arrangements for Statistician Gateway, I would get in trouble with residents if I didn't raise the concerns that they have around the establishment of governance, particularly the involvement of residents in that element.
And I agree, Chair, this is one of the things I wanted to just raise.
Okay.
One of the things that we've made a mistake, we should not have been saying we would establish a programme board before we finished the acquisition of commercial interest. So we've scheduled that the wrong way around. We need to make sure that we are in some way involved in the Gateway project, other than just a planning organisation. We've got to have involvement in order to then have legitimacy for the programme board and governance. So we'll be scheduling those the other way. Reason for delay is, of course, because the acquisition of commercial interest is subject to the funding coming from the government. It's all underway.
Yeah, for you, Chair, just say in terms of the 25-26 priority delivery plan, that will be much clearer. But rest assured, as soon as cabinet decisions are taken on the commercial interest, the programme board arrangements will follow. But yeah,
so apologies for getting that.
Okay. In that case, we move on to.
Can I just raise one?
Oh, yeah,
come on. Page 10. Secure planning consent from members of Billboard Shopping. Is that correct, the September 2014 for the prior?
No, it should be 2024.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know why that says 2014.
Oh, yeah, that's sharp of you. Again.
I have such a boring life.
You're just a thorough man.
Slip the net.
Any more on that item then? Can we now approve that report?
Thank you.
Which moves us on to page 21, is it? The business planning report, page 20. And this is the one that comes to council. Says that the officers have decided to reduce the size of report this year, and the report from this committee seems quite thin to me. Do you know what anybody else thinks?
Does the, can I just ask Chairman, is there any point in this having a scrutiny committee if it doesn't tell the Cabinet what its report says?
That's rather what I felt.
Oh, I thought it was maybe new to the committee. I thought maybe they just wanted us to say we met.
No.
We're going to meet again next time.
And we were very keen that we recognised that we needed to offer actions and follow-ups on the work that we've done.
Yeah, if you thought there was something wrong, we should suggest they put it right, sort of thing. I think. But this doesn't say that.
No, we put a lot of recommendations to Cabinet. What actually also bothers me is that we haven't had any feedback from Cabinet. I don't even know if these recommendations have gone through to Cabinet, and if so, have they debated it? And it'd be very helpful to have a reply.
Mr. Chairman, was there no consultation done with the chairman of the different committees?
No,
it just seems
I had
arbitrary decisions being taken.
This paper was
consultation
written
with the members and the chairman of the different scrutiny groups, because it was three different reports that is given.
It used to be three
each
separate
scrutiny
reports.
Committee is different.
We didn't see the I didn't see the report before it went out last year either. And I think something perhaps could go, I don't know if it's part of the Constitution, but it's something perhaps we could recommend being looked at, because it does seem to me that the chairman of the scrutiny committee should be writing their report, and actually, or at least having a sight of it.
Madam Chairman, doesn't the clerk write the report, then you have to approve what she's written that says what we've reported?
I think it goes to the head of law. I've just discovered this. Jackie can reveal all, but this has been written by Ian.
Was he at the meeting?
No.
So how can you write a report on a meeting? Wasn't that?
Well,
it's a year's report.
Pardon my ignorance. It's a year's report. I mean, it is what it is. But I just wonder if, in future, that there might be a better way of producing these reports. And whether they should really be condensed into one report, because it's a lot of work that scrutiny committees do. I think scrutiny is important. I'm not sure that we've got it right as an organisation in the recognition of what scrutiny should be doing. But this doesn't, to me, reflect that well on the importance being attached to scrutiny. I'd appreciate people's views.
Sergeant, I'm just reading this, it sounds like everything's going wonderfully well and we don't need to do anything.
Well, I think we did a lot of work that isn't reflected in the report. That's the feeling I had about it.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think over this last year you've done more than just three paragraphs.
That's what bothered me.
I would have thought there'd be a little bit more detail in the conclusions you came to about things, so the outcome. So I think maybe we should look at that again for next year.
Yeah. And my starting point, and I perhaps mentioned this at council, is actually how should we be measuring success? Because we can say we've done lots of things or there's loads of hits on the internet and so on, but what have we actually achieved? You know, we've spent a lot of money on the frontage of the station. What difference does that make? And those are the things that we need to drill down to and then report them in our presentation to council at the end of the year. So that's my suggestion. Dean?
Yeah, so for you, Chair, I think the report's been drafted by the head of law and governance, so
yeah.
It's not my report, but having, I think, Jackie spoken to him, and so there's a couple of options for the committee. I mean, you can accept the report as is and it will go through to council, or identify some additions that you want put into the report to reflect the work that you've done over the last 12 months. So I think obviously you can go through those now, or Chair, maybe you want to seek the committee's agreement to take that away. And
when does it have to be done by, Jackie?
Circulate those.
It's going to the 22nd of July Council.
You see, we've got very little time to put anything in.
Yeah. Through you then, Chair, is there any way that we could drill through the minutes of previous meetings and try and tease out some of the actions?
But we need to do it this evening, I think, because...
Oh, we haven't got the minutes, though, have we?
No, and that's the problem I identified, that with the 22nd of July, we'd have to have anything produced by next week, wouldn't we? I think, at the latest.
It would be 5 clear days that the agenda goes out prior to the meeting.
But we need time to prepare it and so on.
Or can we agree that, in going forward, that a more detailed list of achievements can be...
I think perhaps we'd make a recommendation if that would be all right. Don't come up with a bright idea.
Whilst the report itself has to be 5 clear days, amendments to the report can be done
at council
at time. So if we wanted to append in more detail from this committee, through the chair, that could be I feel like that could be done. And I think that would be, if the issue is time, then that is something that we're finding some time within the system.
So Chair, Ian's advice, I mean, he said that he did circulate a copy of the report on the 25th of May. There are two options, effectively. You could ask the committee tonight to delegate authority to you as Chair to make amendments. Obviously, I'm happy to work with you, and I'm sure Jackie would be as well, to identify, reviewing the minutes, because we haven't got them in front of us now, any areas that have been missed, and we can put those amendments forward, we can circulate them electronically for everybody to review, and send that back to the head of law and governance for inclusion in the report, or you can approve the report as it is and give a verbal update at council, basically to outline areas you think have been missed. So there's two options that have been put forward, but if you want to make changes to the report, I think option one or option A, sorry, would be the way.
Would that be okay? That you delegate to me to add a couple of lines, and I'd be very pleased if anybody sends any thoughts and comments through as to what we should be adding in there to reflect the work that has been done, and particularly the actions that we have asked for to go forward for, because so much of what comes back is reports were received, but we did more than that, and I just feel that we don't reflect
that.
That's
just this committee, Chair. We need to think of the other scrutiny committees
for next year.
Different,
yes.
But again, more in-depth investigations than their particular role.
Okay. Let me perhaps offer that to Cabinet to consider, think about, or whatever committee it goes off to.
Saying me personally, I don't think we should accept this as it is. And if it's up to you, the other chairman, and the rest of the committee is the committee. But I mean, if we accept this as it is, we're accepting what Ian's written. And
I've never been in a committee where
somebody else entirely different has written this report, and then we say, "Oh, that was fine. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah." I mean, I'd rather go to the council and say, we don't accept this because it was written by, you know, somebody else. Now, this isn't what the scrutiny committee is for. I've sat on scrutiny committees. I've sat on the finance scrutiny committee. And if that committee is accepting things that's written by Ian, then this borough council's in serious trouble, believe me.
Sorry.
Perfectly happy to delegate authority. I think one of the issues I have with it is, in addition to kind of it's the language that it uses, it makes the committee sound incredibly passive in what it's done.
Exactly.
And I think that whilst, yes, we have received reports, we've also asked quite a lot of challenging questions and got, in a lot of cases, comprehensive answers to those and dug into a lot of issues. And one of the things that isn't in here is planning. And the planning department, the
yes,
process,
exactly.
And which we have spent a substantial amount of time discussing and asking why we consider to be the difficult questions, and from the evidence that we have seen thus far, seeing improvements to that as well. So I think that there is more to the story here, and I think you're absolutely right about success and identifying, but I think also, what does success look like for this scrutiny committee? How can we show that this scrutiny committee has been successful? And I think there are a number of points that we can identify where we have been successful in identifying and uncovering and demonstrating ways which the council can move forward and be more successful.
Would you like to write the report for me?
Sure, I wish I had time to.
Your comments would be welcome, I tell you, as ever.
Okay,
yeah.
Through you, Chair. I've just managed.
No, you've got. You've got. Oh. No. Stop. Next door neighbour speaking.
That's okay. Can I suggest that we all agree or propose, if we have to do a vote, that you're delegated to write a report? But can I also suggest that if any members have got something that sticks in their mind or anything specifically that they think should be included into the report, and that is electronically emailed out to the chair, I would suggest by the end of this week. So that,
and I'm away at the weekend, so.
Okay, the end of the weekend,
yeah,
which is a couple more days.
By
so
Friday
that
would be good.
So that you have actually got some time to actually collate it and put it together. It would have to be submitted by.
I'd need to speak to the head of law and governance because he would want to see the report. It's going to be his report that goes to council.
Okay.
So we send the agenda out 5 working days before council.
And the next week is 23rd.
But obviously, I don't know what Ian's workload is, so it would need to be before then to give him a chance.
What I'm concerned about, what's in my mind, is the fact that I don't want to get to a position where we do this work. We do the work, you do the work, we get it all ready, and then it's gone, well, it's a bit too late.
Yeah, and it has been left quite late.
I think we all agree that what's been written there, again, doesn't reflect exactly what we've been doing for the
last. I don't suppose it would be a problem with Ian, I'm sure, but if we add to it, there's nothing sinister or anything else. But I will do my best tomorrow to draw something together. If Dean's around, I can send some bullet points.
And if anything is sort of sticks in our mind, I can think of a couple of things that I'll put down and send a note to.
And following on from this idea of how we measure success and success for the committee, I think that rather than this is what we did and this is what we reported, I think it's important that we say this is how effective we were.
Exactly.
Otherwise, why are we here?
Prime example is this evening when we've got a question from a councillor to a cabinet member, and that has been received, it's been addressed, it's been debated.
Yeah.
So that it can actually open up the door to other people.
Yes.
I will be honest, as a councillor, I didn't realise that we could do that.
Yeah, it's a good
thought,
we should use
that. Thank you. And right, actually, you're the last voice on this matter.
I've got an additional suggestion, which is that on your work programme next year, the March meeting, you include an item that says summarise what you've done this year and give it to the officers so they've got a starting draft. So that's got an indication of what you think you've done this year.
Yep.
Then let legal look at that rather than they start with the minutes of that.
every March is a summary of what we've achieved. Thank you. I'm going to move on because I'm conscious that we're running.
You're not a Marxist man.
Oh, dear. What have we got there? Oh, yes, we've got our work programme. Now then, we're adding something to the March one, but that's where we're.
Chairman, you have a date for your August one?
Yes, it's the 19th of August.
Thank you.
I found it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
August the 18th.
Where are we?
Sorry.
Well, now we've got.
Meeting was the 19th of August. Mm-hmm. Forgot I was, they had an email for you, I think, to do.
Yeah, I don't get it.
The. The August date is going to be the Rivers and Oceans, which has finally come to this committee. It's been difficult to find time to slot it in, but it came. Was it Scott brought it to council? I can't remember.
Jack
brought it to council, and it's now going to be debated. We have. I'll get Dean to tell you who's coming.
Jackie
will tell you who's coming. Jackie's done
on the work. We wrote to Severn Trent Water, but I think there's a number of others.
So Severn Trent Water are coming, but they said when it's worked most effectively in other councils, they've had sort of like a multi-agency approach. So they gave me some ideas of who to invite. There's only one agency that we can't get anybody to come, but they're happy to take questions and then feedback to you. So that's the Environment Agency. They're unable to come. I don't know who Andrew Brett is at County, but that's somebody that Alex suggested. And we've also got the IDB. We've got two people coming from there as well.
Okay.
So the idea being that if anybody has a question, somebody there should be able to answer it. They would like questions in advance if there's something that requires detail or anything like that, just so they know what's coming. And I said I would forward them if I had them.
Could we make a point of inviting Jack to come to the meeting?
I think to you, Chair, it would be worthwhile informing all councillors.
Yes, it's a good
about
idea.
This meeting, and invite all councillors to come along. Not necessarily to all sit around the table, but at least to be present.
It's an important issue.
And again,
issue.
Suggest to them, if they have any particular questions, then surely on the agenda it could come in on the councillor session.
Yeah. Good idea.
So
is that everyone, are we happy with that?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Thanks, Chair. I'm not available for that meeting in August, and I have submitted apologies already.
Was there anything, we didn't have anything else on that agenda, did we?
No.
So it's a single item agenda, basically.
I think it needs
And in October, I added to October.
So development management update.
Planning
enforcement item that we've just been talking about.
Yes.
Is coming to October. Solar farms policy.
Solar farms policy in October. Which we asked, I think we raised it earlier in the year.
UKSPF.
I don't think we need UKSPF because it's been covered by Martine today.
Probably later in the year, Chair.
Yeah, perhaps early next year, see how they're getting on. Is there anything else that you feel we should put onto the October agenda? Or are you happy with that? And then December is set out here. And in case you don't know what a cumulative impact assessment is, somebody will tell you.
He's looking at it's to do with the town centre and the nighttime economy. We've had
that will bring in the police.
That's come by Staffordshire Police, so there'll be more detail on that. But that will it's probably not actually head of economic development and planning. It will be.
It's Gabrielle.
Gabrielle's in regulatory services. Yeah.
Are we inviting the police to that?
Yes, I think so. Yes. And there's the enforcement item, which is October. We may need to go into closed session, just to warn you.
Yeah. And that, Chair, sorry, the enforcement, it may be not just planning enforcement, it may be regulatory
service as well.
I think
about.
It should be.
Yes.
Because we'll just go down the planning route. I think.
No, no, we want to include that.
Yeah.
It's all relevant. Yeah.
Does that mean you should?
Invite community, yes. I think we had agreed that it should be, again, an open meeting.
So, if you had a question I was going to ask on the annual scrutiny business report, in fact, on page 25, 513, it said the committee set up a task and finish group to look into promotion, support town centre events. A number of recommendations were referred to Cabinet. We've had no response to that. What is the Cabinet doing about the recommendations that we referred to them?
Yes, can we have a response to that, please? Thank you.
We've certainly discussed it.
Will include.
Perhaps Ed could report back to us on the progress with those recommendations. That takes us to the 19th of March, which is quite a long way away. But that includes biodiversity net gain, which we haven't been able to fit in earlier. And again, development management, and I'm sure something else may well come up.
I think
we've got the gateway.
KSBF probably on the march.
Okay.
That will be the end of the programme.
Yeah, that's right.
For you, Chair, when I was Chair of the Planning Committee, we had an item where the planning application suggested that the development would produce 1% biodiversity net gain rather than a target of 10%. And I remember sitting there looking around and there's just blank faces. I don't think anyone really quite grasped what BNG 1%, 10% is, how it's achieved, whatever. So I think it's important that for all members, whether you're on the planning committee or not, that there's a better understanding of how BNG works. And that, you know, you can do it, but you can do it somewhere else down the road if you choose to, not on necessarily on that site. And you know, these are things that I think we need to grasp better.
Should we bring should we have a training session for members, or should
I
we bring it? Well, it's coming to the March
to
agenda.
Scott Spencer, that he might deliver a session on that.
I think we had one. I've certainly been briefed by.
We've had one, yes, but it was in the early days.
We have had one.
The parish.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, the parish is the
and
secretary parish. Yeah.
That covers all the items, I think. Anything else, Jackie? Finished.
You said you wanted something on rural economy in March.
Oh yes, we wanted to pick up the rural economy. I think that's even though Martine says that there's a hugely successful take up, it does tie in with the future of the local plan. Things like rollout of broadband and people working from home and so on. So there are quite a lot of issues around the rural part of the borough. And
I think with SPF as well, we should have a view by then, hopefully, of what will be replacing it as of April.
Yes, we put that down for March. And if we put the rural economy down for March as well, that would be good.
Mobile phone coverage as well as broadband.
I mean, mobile phone coverage is more important than broadband, really, isn't it? Yeah.
Both.
Yeah. For me, it's the same thing. Thank you very much, everyone, for your attendance. It's been a long meeting, but it was worth giving Charlotte the time that we did, I think, because there's a lot of change taking place in terms of the inward investment plans that they've got. We'll see how successful they are. But I particularly would like to say how successful our own inward investment progress seems to be as a result of the work that our small team is doing in this set of offices. They're doing a tremendous job. Thank you for your attendance.
Thank you very much.